know what I'd love to do? Get me a big bowl of pie, some ice cream on it. Mm-hmm, good. Put some on your head. Your tongue would slap your brains out trying to get to it. Interested? Yeah?
So, welcome to the Pinstripe Alley podcast. Probably our saddest podcast because we're sans two hosts or co-hosts. Waffles will not be joining us, nor will Matthew Funtime. It's just my two, I don't have nicknames for you guys yet, so it's just my two bland, nicknameless hosts, Andrew and Jason. Hi.
Hi. Well, you don't have a nickname that you can say on air for
That's
me.
That's true.
I'm also pretty sure that this is the first time that Tanya was not on the Pinstripe Valley podcast.
Yes, I believe it is, since its founding.
Since like yesteryear, the golden age.
I don't know what call it golden.
It's over.
not the golden age.
No.
The golden age.
Yes. This is why we need, you know, a female presence here. Because now we're just on, this is like the Dude's Night Out podcast.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Enough reminiscing. Andrew, what are our topics for this podcast?
Well, Masahiro Tanaka finally pitched in the Yankees uniform. Oh, and he was pretty swanky. I mean, it was spring training, but, you know.
First impressions are important.
He looked nice. He did give up that one hit, so, you know, bust. Uh-oh.
No, Phil.
Wrap it up here.
I think I saw a couple balls, maybe, but... All right, I'll just come out and say it. That splitter turned me on. Like, I was aroused watching it.
It was sinister.
I'll say it. I'll be the first. I don't care if it's Dude's Night Out. I'll say it.
Old.
Yeah, it was pretty nice.
No, but seriously, he looked great.
All right.
And I know. All right, podcast done. Pack it up and cash it in. No.
All right.
Pack it up.
No, really. I mean, I don't know if you guys care about this kind of thing, but I, for one, like the fact that he takes very little time between pitches. As someone who likes pitchers to pitch very fast and not on horrible Beckett levels. It's like, I like them to pitch more like Mark Burley, and he does. So I'm happy with that. It's just another, gold star for him.
Yeah, I can.
So bravo.
I can understand the Kuroda comparisons because Kuroda never really takes much time between pitches either. And Tanaka was just going, it's like, all right, get back in the box.
Well, what I thought was really interesting is that he has no pause in his delivery, like a lot of Japanese pitchers do, where they, you know, do the windup and they're going to the, and like right before they go to the plate, they kind of pause.
Yeah.
Tanaka doesn't do that. His delivery seems kind of similar to Kuroda's without the pause. So it's very interesting. You know, I think. The thing with the Japanese relievers is that pause, you know, kind of adds some deceptiveness to the delivery because, you know, you're thrown off your timing and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't know if that really matters at all to anything, but it's just interesting, I guess, to think about. I don't know. It's cool.
He does have a little bit of a pause, but it's definitely not as distinct as other pitchers. I mean, maybe it'll come out more in, like, other starts, too, beyond... You know, first appearance of spring training, but I think Kuroda made a comment where he suggested that it might be a good idea for the Yankees to not start Tanaka and Kuroda back-to-back during the regular season, so hitters can't get used to that sort of delay in the motion, which makes some sense.
Hmm. He said this? When did he say this?
I thought I saw something the other day about Kuroda commenting on that. Maybe I made it up, but I don't think I did.
CeCe said his stuff looked filthy.
CeCe said his stuff looked filthy?
Okay. Yeah, Kuroda, Tanaka's...
I thought you said CeCe said his own stuff looked filthy.
that's kind of arrogant there.
I'm looking filthy.
It's like, you know, I'd just like to say my pitches were looking pretty spectacular out there. That slider I was throwing, you could just eat it up. Cash it in.
Yeah. I think McCann liked him too, I think. Obviously.
And I think that the Phillies batter who struck out on that splitter, I don't even know who it was. I think he said, like, I don't know what that was kind of thing. And that's the kind of stuff I like to hear.
Yeah, that guy was totally blown away by that thing.
Like, well.
That's what I like.
Like, I don't know what I'm swimming at. Just, you know, hope for contact.
Mason Williams approach.
Oh, God. Mason Williams.
He swings at everything.
Can we talk about this? Because, like, yes. I missed out on being able to, like, properly talk about this. He swings at everything. Like, I don't know if it's just a spring training thing because, you know, he's up with the big league team and, like, wants to make a good impression. But he swings at everything. Even when he doesn't swing and it's, like, nose high, he wants to swing. And it's probably, and if this is the way he plays, like, full time, like, this is why he can't hit the ball out of the infield, because he's making crappy contact to everything, and it's just, you know, doing nothing. It's terrible.
Yeah, he needs to work on that batter's eye.
Like,
yeah, so let's see, want to impress, show some patience.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was looking for some video of him from when he started a couple days ago, but they didn't have any, but I saw another video from, like, Yes Network, some bullcrap, but, you know, they said something about, like, you know, they want him to work on his patience, and I was like, whoa, that makes a lot of sense.
When he came up to Triton at the end of the season, he walked once in 17 games. That is impressive. Alfonso Soriano is impressed by that.
That's quite the patience. That's terrible.
Vlad Guerrero thinks he swings too much, probably.
Well, I mean, Vlad Guerrero could, like, make good contact with
him. Yeah, I think he definitely hit a pitch off the ground one time.
I mean, yeah, I think he golfed for home runs.
Yeah, all the time.
The same thing with, like, Miguel Cabrera. Miguel Cabrera hit a home run out of the other batter's box last year.
He hit I remember when he was on the Marlins, he had a walk-off single on an intentional walk pitch, because he's just like, screw it.
Oh my god, I heard about that, but I didn't
know it was him. Yeah, that was him.
Oh my god. No, but, like, don't you remember? I think it was against the Yankees. Like, he hit a ball that was, like, in the other batter's box for a home run.
Yeah.
Like, just like, nah, this is mine. Like, people like that can, you know,
they can get away with it.
Yeah, because they can control where the ball is going. You know, if you're just flailing at things just to make contact with it and hope it goes somewhere that you can, like, do something with it, it's like, that's not a game plan. What is Mason Williams his entire career
on infield just singles? Not a smart one.
No, yeah, I suppose it's not a smart one. Not an effective one.
Whatever works, I guess. Or it doesn't work.
He did have that really nice diving catch a couple days ago, though. That was cool.
Hooray.
I mean, we hear about how he's a good fielder, and you believe it, and then you see plays like that, and you sort of get an idea why. So it'd just be nice if, you know, take a walk every now and then.
I think when he was diving for that catch, he was thinking about swinging at it.
He was thinking about it.
Oh no, I forgot my bat. Well, I better lunge at it with this glove. That's all I have.
How about the other rookies? I really like Jervis Solarte. I'm going to say it.
Good old Plan Jervis.
Yeah. I'm definitely rooting for Yank Jervis. Yank Jervis. Yank Jervis. However you pronounce it.
Plan Jervis.
He's been really good so far. I mean, it's only been, you know, a couple days, but he's been, like, leading team in hitting. So, I mean, that's nice to see. But at the same time,
isn't he like eight?
Like, huh?
Isn't he like 8 for 11?
Yeah, I think so.
With like 4 or 5 RBIs.
He's been really good, but, like, the thing is that I don't know how good he has to be to, like, pry a role on the team from, like, you know, Nunez's hands. And, you know, it's not even that it's Nunez, it's just that Nunez has a spot on the 40-man roster.
It's more the Yankees than Nunez.
Yankees don't like doing things that they don't need to do.
And I don't think Nunez has options left, right?
Doubt it.
Well, he could join Scherzer at the juice press.
Good, but I don't know. I don't know.
He would probably bobble the fruit.
Probably get injured while say he stuck his hand in the juicer.
Ah, the juicer got me! No, that was just someone putting stuff in the juicer next to you, Eduardo.
Someone's shooting me, boss! Someone's shooting me! That's the juicer, okay? For the last time. We've been over this. This is the fourth time now.
Oh. Yeah.
But I would say, I'd say Solarte probably has to hit 500.
Probably. I'm not even sure if that would be enough.
I'd like to think that'd be enough.
Like, you know, they say, like, oh, it's a competition, it's a competition, it's a competition. We know
no,
these go into it knowing who they want to win. And it's just like, you know, how well does he have to do to beat out the idea that they don't really want to, you know, DFA somebody to get them onto the roster? You know, it'd be one thing if, you know, Gervais Solarte was, you know, on the 40-man roster. They could just pick one over the other. But, you know, are they going to DFA Nunez? Mm. That would be not at this point. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they already offered him a contract for this year. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean anything, as David Aardsma proved last year. But I think, I mean, yeah, probably it's hard to not see them bringing Nunez to opening day with them, just since he's been with them for so long. But it's just so irritating because they've been trying to do this with Nunez for almost 5 years now, and you're getting the same results every time, so it's like, why? Why do we keep going with this? Nothing's going to change.
It's the same mistake they made with Jabba. They kept trying Jabba and trying him until finally they realized, all right, there's nothing we can do. If he's gonna do well, it's not going to be on this team. So, and it seems like they're doing that with Nunez, too. It's like, all right, you've given him ample opportunity to prove himself. Like, I was excited for him a couple years ago, and now it's like, no, he needs to go. You know, if you have a better option, by all means, play it, because I know what I'm getting with Eduardo Nunez now.
Well, the thing is, like, do they have a better option that will work for them, you know, on all fronts?
I look at it this way. It's the same reason why I always hated when they re-signed Chad Gaudin or Sergio Mitre, hence the Mitre of the Week we have on this podcast. It's because they gave them a second chance to suck. Like, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you like, I had no problem when they signed, like, the who did they name? Rapata or something.
Oh, yeah,
like
Clay
that.
Rapata.
Yeah, Clay Rapata. When they bring in someone like that, you know, or that one person they got from the Mariners and give them a shot, I'm like, all right, fine, give them a shot. Don't give shots to people who have proven they suck. And that's what I feel they're doing with Nunez.
Well,
I'd like to think that maybe if Scott Sizemore is healthy, I'm not necessarily certain that he'll be healthy at the end of spring training and ready to go in Major League games, but I feel that if Sizemore does get to a healthy point, they would seriously consider trying him over Nunez, since Sizemore has actually had decent success in the big leagues. Granted, it was a couple of years ago when he was healthier, but the fact that he has had success and can play second and third capably would give him a bit of an edge, but who knows?
Yeah, I don't really know. I could see them going, you know, breaking camp with Nunez, but then, like, you know, obviously, if they're going to be platooning, he's going to be playing fairly regularly. He's going to suck. And they'll, you know, maybe replace him with somebody else. Like, I don't think just because he makes the team, he's got the job in an indefinite amount of time.
Yeah.
He could really just be a placeholder until Sizemore is healthy or, you know, they can, I don't know, a cast off from somebody else that they can pick up or something. I don't know.
Well, didn't Andrew say that before the podcast that there were Mariner scouts checking out Phelps?
Apparently.
They were checking him out.
Apparently there were.
So I think we're all thinking the same thing here. David Phelps for Nick Franklin.
If only.
Done.
Get it done, Cash.
Get it done, Cash.
It also seems like they're advertising their catchers early on in spring training. I think McCann's only started like once or twice, but Cervelli, Murphy, and I think Romine too have gotten a decent amount of time. So, and
Cervelli's looking
good.
Yeah,
both Cervelli and Murphy have hit the ball hard in the first week or so. So, I mean, I'm not really sure how much that actually improves their stock, but can't hurt, you know.
Catchers hitting, what a concept.
Well, yeah. I mean, it just gives them, you know, gives scouts more opportunity to see them play. Not necessarily that, you know, they're hitting good, so, you know, someone's going to want to trade for them. But, like, pretty clear. I think it's pretty clear that, you know, Cervelli is going to be the backup catcher. I mean, it's like they pair up Cervelli and McCann in games. One plays DH, one plays catcher. Apparently, there's word that they're going to make Cervelli the personal catcher for Tanaka.
Yeah, I think I saw that too.
That needs to not be a thing, actually.
Well, here's the thing, is that they want someone to like really like connect with Tanaka, and McCann is meanwhile focused on like learning all the pitchers on the team. And Cervelli already knows most of them, been on the team, and McCann, you know, needs to know everybody, but they want somebody to, like, really focus on, not, like, build a relationship or something. I don't know.
Now here's an interesting question just I want to bring up. What would you rather the Yankees do if the option became available? Like, because one of our Mats wrote a post about trading Murphy for Didi Gregorius.
Yep. Provenzano, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I forgot which Matt it was, I'll be quite honest. We have so many. Anyway, now say, who would you rather trade for someone like that, a Murphy or Cervelli? And who do you think has more upside to trade?
I think Murphy.
Murphy.
Murphy has more upside to trade. I think most fans would probably rather trade Cervelli, but I also don't think Cervelli really offers much to teams at this point. I think Murphy would be the more attractive option, and possibly even more attractive than Murphy would be Sanchez, even though he's a little further off.
Well, the thing is that probably realistically, Cervelli is the type of player that could probably get like a reliever, maybe. Yeah. But Murphy would get you a positional player that, you know, the Yankees really need.
Desperately.
They're gasping. So, I mean, I don't want to trade Murphy. I like him, but I feel like he's the guy that's going to get something that is useful and, you know, nice to have. So, it's probably going to be him because no one wants Romine.
I think I would be okay with letting Sanchez go in the right trade too. I don't think he can be viewed as untouchable.
No, yeah. I don't think there's anyone except for Greg Bird. I don't think there's anyone who's untouchable in our system.
Yeah.
Sanchez can easily, like, if he gets us the position player we need, take their chances with Murphy, and we'll see. I mean, I basically worry about that when we come to it.
Yeah, and the reports are that he's a better defender than Jesus Montero was, but they say he's still like not that great. So I just wonder if we're just setting ourselves up for another Jesus Montero type bust by gambling on Sanchez too much. So maybe it's the right time would be to sell would be now or sometime during the season.
Well, yeah, I think. I don't know. Maybe not right now. I'm not really
right sure. Now. Right now, like it's 1:26 in the morning. Let's sell him now.
One trade. I don't know. I it's tough because you know you just get a new catcher and it's like oh well we don't need this guy so it's like well clearly you don't need him so I'm not going to give you my best player and part of me feels you know there's no reason to rush into it because any number of things can happen. McCann can get hurt. Shkreli could get hurt. Somebody could get hurt. Someone could, you know, get lost in space.
That is, you know, a possibility, yes.
Sanchez becomes, you know, an actual option for the team. I don't know. Like, unless he has some kind of giant colossal failure of a season, I don't think his stock is really in danger of falling, like, you know, Mason Williams might be.
He just swung at that pitch, Jason.
Yeah, probably.
And I'm talking about the pitch of trading Sanchez. He swung at that. Business pitches, swinging at that too.
So, like, I don't know. It's tough. But yeah, I would not say no in the right deal, because, you know, we've got enough catchers.
Yes.
I think the optimal level of trading catchers is one. So let's decide who we're going to trade. Because it's going to be somebody.
We trade whoever gets us the best thing at this point.
Yeah, probably. See, I would say that, like, the Yankees need to trade one of Murphy and Romine and one of Warren and Phelps.
I'm not really sure what Phelps or Warren is going to bring back, unless the Mariners really like Phelps. But
I already said Nick Franklin. We're done with that discussion, Andrew.
Saying, like, straight up, like, you know, if Phelps and some other dude gets somebody, do it. And if, you know, Murphy and some other dude gets somebody useful, do it. Because, you know, there's no one in the system that should be untouchable. And the Yankees need some pieces badly. And it would be really to get, like, some kind of young, talented player that can play now. You know, Didi Gregorius might not be that great, but it's nice to have a young player who can be around for several years, at least.
I was to say, yeah, Didi Gregorius is not, you know, he might be an average player, but we have no one after Jeter.
I would take, at league minimum, I'd take average.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gregorius was a pretty good shortstop last year for the Diamondbacks, and yeah, he had his slumps after a hot start, but overall,
he has promise.
Yeah, overall, he had a 91 WRC plus last year, which is fine for a shortstop, and obviously this year will probably tell you a little bit more about the kind of player that he'll be, but the Diamondbacks have their own little shortstop conundrum with him and top prospect Chris Owings, I think his name is. And
yeah,
Owings hit really well last year in AAA. Granted, it was PCL, but they do, people around the game like Owings a lot, and they say he might have more upside than Gregorius, so they may very well go with Owings and on opening day, and then Gregorius is going to be out of the job, and they're just left in an awkward situation, kind of like the Rangers have been the past couple of years when they had both Kinsler and Profar. Obviously, they're not obligated to trade one of them, but it could be something that they'd be at least intrigued by.
So what you're saying is Nunez and Romine for Chris Owings.
Get it done, cash.
All right, good. I'm glad we're all on the same page here.
Towers, the Diamondbacks GM, did like, he is supposedly looking for young catchers, though, I guess, to help take some of the load off of Miguel Montero. So maybe,
who's not very good.
No, he had a good year in 2012, but stumbled in 2013. So I guess he's looking for insurance in case Miguel Montero continues this downward trend in 2014. And maybe a Murphy could work in that deal. Maybe even a Sanchez could work in that deal.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, at least, you know, they have they have tradable options, and they have teams that might need their services for once, because it's been a while.
Well, the Yankees need to pull the deal already. Like, let's go.
Well,
come on.
They have time, but
no time.
No time. Now, 5 minutes later, why don't I see this deal on Twitter yet?
Seriously, like, I don't know what the hell's happening. Like, how long are we gonna wait until we have a solution at third base or second base? because, you know, like, Brian Roberts, what? You know,
are
they really going to go into spring training with Brian Roberts, into the season with Brian Roberts? Because that's not a solution. What happens in 3 weeks will be dead.
By the way, Andrew, I will applaud you for your optimism on that Brian Roberts post you did.
I did the best that I could.
Good for you.
I do think that Roberts does have upside, but obviously it's... You can't... They need to have some... I definitely agree that they need to have some kind of backup, because it's...
Yeah, they need a backup plan in case he goes down, which is very likely going to happen.
Those are the odds at this point, because his injury history is so thorough. It's not, like, focused on just one part of the body. Every part of Brian Roberts has been injured over the past several years, so a breakdown is probably going to happen. I made a comparison to 2012 Eric Chavez in that article, and even Chavez, I think at one point during that season when the Yankees played him a few games in a row, they had to shut him down for a little bit because his back locked up. So with these injury prone players, you just can't really play you can't really put too much pressure on them. And when they're going into the season with the plan as Brian Roberts everyday second baseman, that's just rolling the dice, not in a smart way. Who's your second baseman then? I guess then it's Kelly Johnson and Eduardo Nunez, everyday third baseman.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. Like, they have to have a backup plan at this point, and as far as I can tell, they don't. Like, there's no real backup plan for Brian Roberts getting injured. And that's why they need to do something.
Just hope and magic.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I feel like we do that a lot. Like, hey, we got our solution, but it's like, I don't know about that. Nah, done. We got it.
Maybe Mo has been praying for Brian Roberts, and they're having
like,
faith in
him. I mean, it's like serious concern that, like, this is not a good idea, and it's just like, nah, we're good.
Done. Moving on.
Yeah, but, you know, what about all this stuff? Nah, we're done. We're good. Keep moving on. Like, I mean, what in the world is going on?
I mean, I hope it's just subterfuge by Cashman because, you know, he always comes out with these deals out of nowhere, and maybe that's what we're going to get at some point, but...
I'm more than willing and able to wait for a Ninja Cashman move.
Sure, it's possible, but, like, where is this person going to play? Because, you know, think about it. They signed Brian Roberts... They named him the starting second baseman, and then what are they going to do? Acquire somebody else and then kick him to the curb?
I'm good.
I mean,
yes.
I think they could acquire someone else and then at least have a platoon with him. Because,
no, kick him to the curb.
They're running out of room on the roster. They can't add another platoon player.
Well, then you move someone else off the roster. Maybe that's where you see Eduardo Nunez DFA, or maybe even traded away.
Well, the thing, like if. If you want to get rid of Nunez, then you still need someone to platoon at third base. So unless this phantom person is going to be platooning at second and third base, which...
I don't think you necessarily need a platoon for Kelly Johnson. He's a lefty, and he's better against righties and lefties, but he has hit lefties well in the past, not so much for the past couple of years, so maybe you could get by with him as your regular third baseman, but... Maybe that's where Scott Sizemore comes in when he's healthy.
Or Yan Jervis Solarte.
Yeah, so we're Plan Jervis.
Yes, we need to focus on Plan Jervis.
How about the fact that they don't have anybody to play first base? In case...
Well, weren't they... Didn't I see something on Twitter where Alfonso Soriano was taking balls at first?
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of
sense. I respect that.
But I know it's never going to happen, even though it probably should. Like... I don't know. I would support turning him into a first baseman because they don't have, you know, a Nick Swisher type that they can, you know...
Eternal backup Kelly Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Backing up first.
First, second, outfield. He can catch.
Even a third baseman. So it's just like... I just don't feel comfortable with it. And, like, Kelly Johnson, like, you know, let's say Mark Teixeira goes on the DL. If Kelly Johnson is a starting first baseman for, like, a month, it's going to be hard.
Maybe that's where Russ Kanzler would come up.
Ugh.
This is where I feel like the Brendan Ryan signing kind of serves no purpose.
Well, he does provide... he does provide backup at second base because he can't. They have used him at second base during spring training.
But I feel like it's a luxury that this team really can't afford anymore.
Well, I mean, like, well,
I don't know if I'd call Brendan Ryan a luxury.
If Brendan Ryan wasn't there, then we'd be saying, why don't they have a backup for Jeter? So,
well, maybe they could have found somebody that like can actually hit the ball.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, shortstop. Those are hard to come by. Those guys are usually expensive.
Oh, okay. Really shortstop. Well, I mean, then they have Nunez.
And it all comes full circle.
No, but I just feel like, you know, Brendan Ryan is there. He's like the backup second baseman or, you know, shortstop. He can also play second base kind of, but it's like, you know, it would be nice if like, he could play third base too. Like, move him, put him on third base. See how he does. Like, I don't know.
And we all want things, Jason.
I mean, that might be coming later in spring training, for all we know.
Because we got like there are too many like dead roster spots on this team. You know, you got Ichiro, you got Soriano. I mean, you got Brendan Ryan, and like all these pieces that like, you know, they're fine on their own. But when you have them all in the same roster, you end up with, like, you know, a bunch of guys that don't fill enough spots because, you know, they're so limited, you know.
I don't think they'd be opposed to get rid of Ichiro if they acquired the right person.
That would be really
and
nice.
By the right person, you mean someone who would take a salary. Or at least part of it. Yeah. I mean, if they can get a deal where someone pays even half of Ichiro's salary, jump on it. Take a cash.
Get on that cash.
Half would be ludicrous.
I mean, I can't imagine Ichiro is all that thrilled about like having maybe only getting 200 plate appearances this season. If the
be a better player. I mean, all these guys like complain about like, oh, I don't get the respect or whatever. Sorry, how about you like, you know, be a better player?
Well, I don't know if they complain about that per se.
Yeah, but... Ichiro hasn't like come out like complaining about it or anything, but I feel like it would probably just be a good move in everyone's best interest to get Ichiro off the team.
He stated he clearly wants to play more. It's like, all right, well, he's no more than a fifth outfielder on our team. Send him to somewhere where he wants to, you know, where he can get some playing time.
Marlins.
There are teams out there with outfields who could use Ichiro. I mean,
none come to mind, but
give me time. I mean, Cubs.
No, there are definitely teams that would probably take him. You know, cheap deal. You know, Marlins, teams that could cash in on Ichiro.
So what you're saying is Ichiro for Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh God, yes.
Well,
get it done, Cash.
Jesus Christ, please.
That would be the greatest trade ever.
It would be like the Ninja Cash of all Ninja Cash.
At that point, I would say anyone who ever badmouths Cashman needs to be shot out of a cannon.
If we came out tomorrow that like Ichiro is being traded straight up for Giancarlo Stanton, it would be like, this man is the greatest man of all time.
Yeah, greatest GM ever. We're done.
Criminal. Because there's no way this is possible.
It's like, were they on, like, Ether or something when you made this trade?
Grant Brisby ranked the 10 worst trades of the offseason, which is really just... The whole premise of his article was that he really just wanted to write the one worst trade of the offseason to complain about Doug Fister, but he mentioned that the 8th worst trade was the Pirates giving up an actual relief prospect for Chris Stewart.
Yep.
That was some very good ninja cashing.
Any Chris Stewarts.
Yeah.
Like, you traded a person for a backup catcher.
Who did we get for Chris Stewart, anyway?
Kyle Haynes.
Yeah.
Why we haven't seen him yet, have we?
No, he's not in camp.
Oh.
He's a kid.
Oh. Still. I mean,
he was in A-ball last year.
Clearly, we're wasting our time with Coelho.
Coelho.
God. That guy needs to go into the sun.
He's terrible.
He's fucking awful.
He was so bad.
Whitley? Whiteley? Whatever his name is, he's awful.
Yeah, I've been disappointed in Chase Whitley. I mean, it's only a couple games, but ugh.
Chase Whitley, a couple games too many of him blowing it.
You know, he was the guy that could have made the team, you know, based on his performance alone. You know, like, he's not much of a prospect where, like, they would give him any benefit of the doubt or anything. Like, if he pitched well, you know, they could give him a spot. If he's going to just, you know, pitch like this, he's gone. Like, there's no way.
I think Coelho and Addison Marizak are probably going to be the first cuts spring training.
Yeah, he's awful, too. More like Subtractison.
God.
I developed a hatred of Marizak last spring because he always, like, messed everything up. And my old nemesis back again.
I think he's the worst player in camp overall.
Well, he is.
Possibly ever.
He wasn't invited to camp.
He just showed up.
Like Willie Mays Hayes, except without the talent. Ugh. I wonder when the first cuts are going to come. I mean, it's only March 6th, but maybe next week?
I will say this, though, back to our relief there. Betances is looking solid. He looked pretty good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If he wants to do this,
I'm definitely
he'll get a bullpen dub.
Let's do this, man. Okay. This is going to sound really ridiculous, but I'm also rooting for... I'm kind of rooting for Tatsuyama.
Yeah, that's a little ridiculous.
I think he's good.
I do not.
I think he's good. Well, he was really good last year in AAA.
I don't know if I'd say really good.
He had like a... He had like a... something ERA.
Well, I mean, hey, if he does well, fine.
All right, he had 2.83 ERA in AAA last year.
Okay.
And he had strikeout per 9 innings over 10. Ooh. And his Twitter handle is Tati 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 Tati.
That's really why you want him, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, you don't have to say anymore.
Strikeouts already. I think he's going all the way, guys. He's going all the way.
I mean, he's also, like, 38, and he was crap when he was on the Rangers in the majors.
Yeah, well, Josh, not always about age. He could be, you know, Hiroki Kuroda 2.0 as a reliever. Would you not want Kuroda as a reliever? Like, come on.
No, I would, but I don't think he's Hiroki Kuroda 2.0 as a reliever.
I think he might be.
I think he's probably going to go to
That's
Scranton.
A bold statement.
I think he's going to be amazing.
You're going to be like that one...
Balls
to be like that one guy who's like, Yan Gervis is going to be Yasiel Puig.
Yeah.
Yamcha.
I'm definitely rooting for him, but like, you know, I know he's not going to make it.
How dare you? He's going all the way.
Going all the way. I'm calling it.
Calling it.
He's going all the way.
All right, what else do we have? CeCe. He pitched and he looked good.
Skinny.
Oh, at least he looked on the mound. He looked normal skinny.
He looked like he'd been eating.
Like, yes. Unlike the photos where it looked like he was dying.
He pitched okay, but it was kind of weird that his his velocity didn't crack like 90, but you know, maybe it's just early spring working up to it, or maybe that's just who he is. But he's just gotta figure out how to pitch with diminished stuff, because he's admitted that he's probably not going to be the same pitcher that he was a couple years ago when he was contending for the Cy Young Award every year. But
yeah, well, hopefully he can adjust.
Yeah, I'm hoping that last year was just the adjustments bad year that. You know, pitchers sometimes have when they're slowly going into their 30s and they have to change the way they approach the game. So maybe
like jerks.
Yeah. So maybe he just turns it around and comes out with. I would be perfectly fine with a 4-0 flat season.
Ugh.
And then Kuroda also pitched well.
Well, fine. Let me go back to CeCe.
Fine.
Oh, don't worry about his velocity. It's fine. He doesn't need velocity. Well, like, he doesn't need velocity, but the fact that he lost velocity is kind of a big deal. past his staff level, but like then losing a pretty, you know, decent fastball and then trying to be an ace again, I feel like that's not possible. I think that CC can definitely be a decent pitcher, like a good solid pitcher. I'm not sure that he can be an ace anymore.
No.
If his velocity is going to be, you know, diminished, and if it's 88, he's screwed. I'm sorry, there's no way around it. Like, mile per hour fastball, and it is good. Like, oh, Cliff Lee doesn't use, you know, doesn't have high velocity. Yeah, but he has a higher than 88 mile per hour fastball. I mean, you know, I know that it's spring, it's the first start, whatever. I'll wait to see, you know, when, you know, what happens over the course of the spring if he gets velocity or whatever.
But you're going with screwed.
If his fastball maxes out at 88, like,
done.
He's done. Like, what is, like, I'm not even, like, I'm not even overreacting here. I'm just, like, saying, like, you know, you can't pitch like that. He's going to get smacked around. Unless he becomes a knuckleballer or something.
Apparently Andy Pettit's fastball has been 89 since 2008, for what it's worth.
Really? Yeah,
according to Fangraph's pitch velocity.
Well, maybe I'm wrong.
But, it's a matter of CC actually figuring out how to pitch that way. Yeah.
True.
I think Girardi needs to stop expecting, like, a billion pitches per start, though.
Well, I mean, people keep saying, like, well, it's one thing he'll be able to do is, like, offer 200 innings. Yeah, well, he only made 200 innings this year. Take him out. I mean, what are 200 innings worth if, you know, he's sucking in most of them? I mean, you could throw out any number of pitchers that, like, suck, but you keep them in for the entire game, they'll rack up 200 innings. It's not going to be worth anything.
Yeah, he threw 211 innings last year, and they weren't 211 good innings.
No.
Most of them were quite bad.
They, like, catch me by full punishment. Like, all right, CC, you suck, so you gotta stay here the entire game.
Well, they didn't have much else.
True. But there were definitely a couple of games where it was like, just go to the bullpen, man, just go. And it's like, yeah, but your best pitcher is pitching like crap, so I feel like you could just try something else.
I think they did have options in the bullpen last year where they could have lessened his workload, because they had Robertson, they had Kelly, they had Logan, they had Phelps for part of it, they had Warren. They could have done things to reduce his workload a little bit, but I don't know. They need to not expect as much from him in 2014, I think.
Unless he's like, you know, doing really well, I don't think 100 innings should be a goal.
Right.
So 24-0, got it.
Yeah, I think that as great as the Yankee rotation looks on paper, I feel like there's a very good chance that like it could blow up really badly.
I think that's true of any rotation at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
But you know, think about it, like, you know, you got CC Sabathia, but, like, you know, also, what's the deal with his velocity? Is he going to be an ace? Is he going to be any good? Like, last year was terrible. You got Kuroda. Is he going to be the first, you know, is he going to be like he was in the first half or the second half? You know, towards the end, he kind of fell apart. You know, is that just, you know, him getting tired, or is that going to be him? You know, Nova, everyone's expecting big things from Nova, but, like, Nova was terrible before he got hurt. And it's like, I don't know if I trust him enough to be like, hey guys, I've suddenly figured everything out. So Nova is kind of important. He kind of bridges the gap between both sides of the rotation, makes it a deeper rotation than it could be without him. I just don't know what to expect from Nova.
Again, as I said, for me, it's anything can go wrong, but it could all go right. I mean, that kind of stuff is unpredictable at this point. Yeah, I mean, like, I would say the biggest concern is probably, like, can CC become, out of all the rotation concerns, I would say one of the biggest ones is if CC can pitch like a different pitcher. Otherwise, I think Kuroda is going to be fine. I think Nova's going to pitch as well as he did in 2013. I think Tanaka's going to win 28 games. And I think Pineda's going to win 26. So I think that's it. We're good.
I think we're good here.
Modest goals there.
Yeah, pack it up and cash it in.
I'll be excited to see Pineda actually pitch in a game.
Man, that'll be
we won't see it, but still, it'll be nice.
Well, maybe eventually we'll see it.
Yeah. But yeah, nope. Same here. I'm looking. I think Pineda, watching Pineda is just as important as watching Tanaka. Because you think about it, if Nova does well, if Pineda does well, and if Tanaka does well, that's a very young, cost-controlled 1-2-3 rotation we have. And hopefully Manban comes up and wins 27-0, and we're good.
You know, I think they might be waiting to see what is the deal with Pineda before they think about trading, you know, one of Phelps or Warren. You know, the Mariners were scouting Phelps. They could be holding off until they see Pineda in game and see what he's doing, how he feels, you know, if they feel confident that he can, like, actually, like, play this year before they, you know, entertain the idea of trading away, you know, I guess the guy that would probably be the fifth starter.
Which is smart.
Could be.
It's a good thing to do.
So after, you know, after Pineda started on Friday, I wouldn't be surprised if, like, we at least started hearing rumors that, like, you know, there's a possible deal or something like that. You know, if Pineda's start doesn't blow up, like, you know, he gets hit for, you know, 3 grand slams.
That's pretty serious.
I hate to see that. And another one going out.
He's just loading him up and bringing him home. It's not looking good. This is who they traded for. Oof. What a terrible deal.
If only they could get Jesus Montero. Oh.
Oh.
Oh, he is. He is the size of the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Oh, and Kuroda's going to go 26-0.
How many wins does that all add up to? Do some math.
Over 100.
Good.
I think we're all good. Actually, no, technically if they never lose, well, you have to worry about the bullpen, I suppose.
Assign all the losses to, I don't know, Preston Claiborne.
Sold.
I hope that Preston Claiborne doesn't really make the team, actually.
He's going to make the team.
Yep. I feel like it's going to end up coming between Betances and Claiborne, and I feel like Claiborne's going to get it because he was,
I don't think it's going to come down to Claiborne or Betances. I think it might come down to Betances or Cabral.
And I'd probably go with Betances over that, but we'll see. But enough chatter about the spring training and all that. Tweetbag, go.
All right, Tweetbag. Do you think Robinson Cano will soon regret signing in Seattle, or is that just wishful thinking?
He's making $240 million over 10 years. I'm going
to
say no.
He can use the dollar bills to dry his tears.
Yes.
Pretty much.
I mean, the Mariners just did kind of a weird plan where they're like, all right, we're going to invest a ton of money in Cano, and then, hey, Corey Hart, you want to come here? Logan Morrison, trade for you, and yeah, we're done.
Yeah, no, they did it for the splash, to get people to notice them, to get people in the seats, and it's not the worst of strategies.
No,
I mean
their past 10 years have been pretty crappy, so it's like, well, why not?
Yeah.
So, but maybe they'll help them in 2015, but I think
they're
still a little young.
Well, I mean, I don't think they have enough, you know, first base outfield candidates. I think they need more of those.
So, Phelps for Franklin.
So Phelps the first baseman.
Yes.
You know, they got Corey Hart, they got Logan Morrison, they got
Justin Smoke.
They're going to get Kendrick Morales? Did they sign him yet?
No. Kendrick Morales is still on the list.
And, you know, I thought they were going to get Cruz. You know, they love those, you know, hey, let's stick them at first base. Like, how many first basemen do they need?
Right now they have, like, 3.
Entire baseball diamond of first basemen.
Well, anyway.
But yeah, Cano regretting that? No. Again, he's making a lot of
I think money. He would like the Mariners to sign more people, but that's Mariners.
Again, we all want things.
That. He's already taking control of the team. He's the GM now.
Oh, good. Him and Felix are running the show.
They pretty much are.
Yes.
At this point.
All right. What has surprised you the most this spring training, of the Yankees or any other team?
I would say for me, it's a toss between Plan Jervis and Tanaka Splitter. I didn't expect it to be that good. And when you see it, like, in spring training, it's just so sexy.
Nothing's been really surprising for me yet.
It's still a little early, so...
I guess I'm surprised that Solarte has been that good so far, but it's only been a week, so...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe... I'm a little surprised Jared Murphy at 2 home runs, but it's...
That's John Ryan.
Excuse me, yes. As Matt Ferenchik says, oil tycoon John Ryan Murphy.
Yes.
Yeah, so that'll be my answer. It's still a little early for big surprises.
Next.
What's more likely, Plan Jervis is an all-star or Brian Roberts? It's 10 home runs. Brian Roberts, it's 10 home runs.
Going with Plan Jervis, because Brian Roberts won't be on the team for that long.
Yeah, I think it's more likely that Roberts breaks and doesn't hit that.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's not going to be an all-star.
I mean,
you have no faith, Andrew.
Yeah, seriously, man. Like he's
you've always hated Solarte.
This could be his year.
No, could be.
Year Jarvish.
What do you predict the bullpen to look like ERA wise? Well, we can't really answer that.
Yeah. Too early for that.
3.33. All right. Moving on.
What's the question?
3.12.
What do you predict the bullpen to look like ERA wise?
Oh. in the threes.
Both of you.
All right.
You.
Good answer, guys. Good answer.
That's my hot.
Do you think Betances will break camp with the big league club?
Yes, I do.
I think so. I mean, it's a little early. As we said, he looks good.
He's shown no reason why he shouldn't yet. So.
And it's not like the bullpen is overflowing with obvious candidates.
No kidding.
He's the better reliever, so if they're going on the performance, Betances is...
Which one would think you would go on?
Well, yeah, you would think, but, you know, you don't know.
And ability to get out more than one type of batter. Like...
It's always
Cabral's failed. Just not that interesting to me, because, yeah, he can get some lefties out, but, I mean, you already have Thornton to do that, and that's pretty much what he's specifically going to do, so...
That's why Cabral's not going to make the team. If you're a second lefty, you get somebody like Vidal Nuno who could be used for other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next.
ASL by Greg Kirkland.
Classic AOL chat. Next.
Well, we kind of already answered this one. Out of all the guys fighting for a spot, which are you pulling for the most in spring training?
Plan Jervis.
Oh, I'm pulling for Tatsuyama.
Bold. I'm pulling for Pineda to definitely like stay healthy, and make an impression, and win the fifth starter's job.
No, definitely Pineda. I'm rooting for him.
Okay. So I think that's everything that was in the tweet bag from the fan shot. I think there were some on Twitter as well. Let me see.
I'll pull that up.
Okay. Lily sent a couple questions.
Okay.
Is it too soon to worry about Jeter? No, it is not too soon. He's 40 and a shortstop.
We want him to stay healthy. That's the key thing.
Yep. Okay, and then she wants to know, what do we think were the Yankees' best and worst off-season moves?
Getting rid of Curt Stewart? I'm going to say best.
Signing Brian Roberts? Probably worst.
I think the best move was signing Brian McCann, and the worst move was not really signing an infielder, other than Brendan Ryan.
Yeah.
That's like a non-move, so it's kind of a cheat answer, but whatever.
I'm gonna go with Jason for Brian Roberts as the worst move. You've essentially replaced the most, probably the healthiest second baseman in the league with the least healthy second baseman in the league.
Yeah, I mean, like, we don't want to pay for freaking Omar Infante, so, you know, let's get the worst idea ever. You know,
not that I was particularly enthralled by Omar Infante either.
Me neither. I was like...
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Which new player has the best name?
Oh, Plant Jervis, easily.
Is this going to be your answer for everything?
Am I wrong?
There's some pretty fierce names on there.
Zealous?
Nah.
You're not a fan of Zealous Wheeler?
Not as much as Jervis Solarte. His name has almost infinite possibilities.
It's not as amazing.
Well, I do like J.R. Murphy switching to John Ryan, since it sounds so courtly.
Rich.
Maybe
John.
Maybe
Ryan
Preston Murphy. Claiborne pressured him to like up his upper class game.
Can he become any more Irish?
John Ryan O'Murphy. And then he like takes the field with a Guinness next to him.
Oh my god! You racist, racist.
Oh, and he wears a leprechaun tattoo.
Okay.
And what, holding a box of Lucky Charms? How far are we going with this here?
Yes. And oh, he's god. Drunk.
And there it is.
Matt Ferencek says, what's going to happen if /when Bears attack Yankee Stadium? Do the Yankees have a plan? Is it good enough?
Well, I would like to think that, you know, the vendors have anti-bear equipment on them at all times, like nets, picnic baskets, your basic bear deterrent, giving the crowd enough room to escape. I'm not going to say use tasers on the bear, because that might be animal cruelty, but, you know, if need be, you have to hope they are prepared.
They do have the Humbler.
Yes, well, yeah, well, the Humbler's... I think the Humbler might side with the Bears.
Oh, man, that would be plot twist.
Son of a bitch.
And CeCe's not fat enough anymore to take the blows.
No.
Well, they can always use, I don't know, Larry Rothschild.
Feed him to the Bears.
It was like an SNL skit, like, 10 years ago, where they, like, fed Don Zimmer to someone.
What?
It was like a TV Funhouse animated thing where they were on the moon or something, and they were being attacked, so they tried to feed them Don Zimmer.
I was just thinking of the Simpsons bit where they had the Bear Patrol. They had the stealth bomber.
Yes. So, I think that's the plan.
Just common sense. I said just common sense here.
All right. And the last question was about favorite fringe Yankee to make the bench out of spring training, but I think we've already been over that, so.
Yep.
Team Plan Jervis. No nudies.
Team Plan Jervis. All right. So, that's it for the tweet bag. Again, thank you as always for sending in your tweet bagging. And we hope tweetbag you some more. I mean, actually, we hope you tweetbag us some more. That's the proper way. All right. I believe we're now moving on to the Yankee and the Mitre of the Week. That's right. Waffles isn't here. Andrew, you can go first. Yankee of the Week.
I'll make my Yankee of the Week John Ryan Murphy for those two homers.
Yeah.
Two more homers than I expected.
Okay, that was simple. Jason. Takayama.
I was thinking about it. Takayama. He struck out 5 batters this week. But I'm sure there's somebody better.
Tanaka?
I'm sure there's somebody better.
Tanaka?
Ooh. Was that this week already? Yeah, I guess so.
Count it.
No one did anything, like, exciting.
Listen. I already know who mine is, so you gotta pick yours.
I'm gonna go with Cervelli.
Alright.
Yankee of the Week.
He had a home run.
Yeah.
He did well.
Couple base hits. Catching
well. RBIs.
Ribeyes.
All right. I think you both know who my Yankee of the Week is.
Brett Gardner?
Plan Jervis.
I think this is the first time in like a month and a half you haven't gone with Gardner.
Well, there's been no reason not to not go with Gardner. But yeah, no, Plan Jervis Solarte, or Yan Jervis Solarte. Plan Jervis is my Yankee of the Week. He looks incredible. He's going to make the team, and he's going to hit 28 home runs.
Now that's a bold prediction.
Yes. But, all right, Andrew, Mitre of the Week.
I think Mitre of the Week, we're going to have to go with Robert Coelho.
I think he was all of ours.
ERA is like 54.
Mega suck.
It's so bad.
He is impressively awful. And I'm actually a little disappointed because I remember when I did the non-roster invitee previews, Jesse wrote about him a little bit too, and he had this weird kind of forkball pitch that moved like a knuckleball. But he just looked terrible.
Everyone was like really interested in it, like in like May or something like that, and he got hurt, and like was out the rest of the season or some shit.
How is this?
He's always sucked.
That's true.
It was just a weird thing that people notice is like, hey, wait a minute, he's throwing a forkball, but it's probably not a very good forkball. I mean, I think I looked it up and like the value on his forkball was like negative value, so it wasn't even that good.
Adam,
yay! All right, Jason, your Mitre of the Week.
This is a tough one. A lot of suck. I want to go with Brian Gordon because he sucked, but I also want to go with Eduardo Nunez because he's Eduardo Nunez.
He did go 3-for-3.
He did go 3-for-3 today, but fuck him.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with Eduardo Nunez just because he exists. I suppose since Tania's gone, we need somebody that's going to, you know, raise the flag of Nunez, the Mitre of the Week.
Listen, but there are so many worse candidates than Nunez.
All right, fine. That'll be the memorial Mitre of the Week. My personal Mitre of the Week is going to be Brian Gordon because he sucks.
He did throw a scoreless inning the other day, but...
I don't care.
Yeah, but yeah, he for the most part, he does suck.
Sucks.
All right. That's some science right there. My Mitre of the Week, I'm almost jokingly saying Tanaka, but no, what? I'm just kidding. Because he didn't strike everyone out and then fly.
How dare you?
Well, maybe your Mitre of the Week is actually Mitre because he signed with the Eagles.
No, that would give him my Yankee of the Week.
Would it?
Oh, sure? Yeah. He signed in another country. That's a positive.
True.
Well, that's how bad he is. He has to sign in another country.
I don't care. As long as he's not here. But now I'll throw it to Chase Whitley. He's disappointed me. Sure. Right. Him.
It's a fair one.
True. Addison Marizak would also have been a good choice.
Yes. Subtractison. I'm sticking with that.
But yeah,
what did you say?
We do love the math. All right, that's it. We're done.
All right, bye.
All right.
Pack it up and cash it in. All right, so as always, let's get through the end credits here. Facebook, like us on Facebook. If you have a Facebook account and you haven't liked us, shame on you. We really love your likes. Twitter, we have two Twitter handles. At Pinstripe Valley and at Yankees Gifts. Both follow both of those. It's excellent. Rate us on iTunes and subscribe to us on iTunes. It helps us out as always. Feel free to join us on the site. You should obviously know the website. Answer our tweet bag questions. Give us a hug. You know, we like cookies. It's Girl Scout cookie season and we are all about the Thin Mints. Send us those. We're fans of pie. Not just math pie, but like actual pie. Apple, cherry. What's your favorite pie, Jason?
That's really tough. I like apple pie. I like pecan pie.
No, you're done.
You're done. I like cold apple pie.
cold at all.
None of this hot shit. No, none of this hot stuff.
Boo.
Oh, it's delicious cold. Oh my god.
You're terrible. You need to stop hanging out in delis. It's so much better hot.
In delis? Why am I in deli?
Diners. I'm sorry, diners.
No.
Diners sell cold pie.
When my mom makes pie, I eat it cold.
Alright, moving. Andrew, what is your favorite pie?
I like a coconut cream pie. That's good.
Those are always good, yes. My personal favorite is pumpkin pie. I am a huge, huge advocate of pumpkin pie. You know what? To all our listeners out there, tweet us or comment your favorite pie. In fact, let's name this podcast Tell Us Your Pie. We'll be done.
Oh, God, no.
The episode's name is now Favorite Pie. For no reason whatsoever.
What about guys?
It's either
guys or Dudes Night Out?
One of those. It's either Dudes Night Out.
Pies Night Out.
All
Dude
right.
Pies Night Out. Dude Pie.
So for Andrew, Jason, and myself, with special waving hello to Waffles and Matthew Funtime, I'm Greg. I'm giving you a raise, and cold apple pie sucks. I said it.
Whoa.
Yeah, you heard me. Dude's Night Out.
Yo.
Dudes.
All the young dudes.
Yeah, young. Well, let's stick with that.
Yo, what up, bros?
This is so sad.
We have no southern charm or Kiwi flair.
No. And I don't have nicknames for you two either, so.
Blandest podcast ever.
Yes.
I forgot Mark Teixeira. Special guest.
Oh, God. He'd liven it up.
I would love Teixeira as a guest on the podcast. So if you're listening, Teixeira, call us.
He recently made a comment about, I guess, his dislike of Facebook. About Twitter. Twitter, sorry.
But he's on Twitter telling us to follow him on Sports Yapper.
He said, every other day someone else is saying something terrible, making themselves look awful. Some shit
Well, he just wants people to use Sports Yapper instead of Twitter.
I think it's a ploy.
I don't believe in any products that Mark Teixeira endorses.
I would get some Juice Press.
No, I don't think so.
Looks delicious.
After GIFs made it look like
the GIFs of how it was made, I'm like, no, that is not juice. I don't know what the f*** that is.
That's some delicious looking juice.
That was disgusting. It was just like, this is not juice. This is something else. This is pus.